John, we're looking forward to your presentation.
Good morning.
You sound happy to be here. Hey, I want to start out with a story from the old, old West. Two cowboys.
Thank you for that.
Two cowboys came upon an Indian who was lying on his stomach with his ear pressed flat against the ground. One of the cowboys said to the other, "You see that Indian? He can hear things for miles in any direction." Just then the Indian looks up and says, "Covered wagon, about 2 miles away. Two horses, one brown, one white, man, woman, child, and household effects in wagon." The cowboy says, "Incredible. He knows how far away they are, how many horses they have, what color, who, and what is in the wagon. Just amazing." And the Indian raised his head again and said, "Ran me over 30 minutes ago." Okay, that had nothing to do with today, but I'm trying to clean out my joke file before I'm done and hope that wasn't ethnically across the line. Let me invite you to turn to Psalm 23. Last week we began a short 4-week series looking at some psalms, and we started with Psalm 23, wanting to just understand it at an even deeper level than perhaps we do when we hear it so many different times. And because this psalm is filled with such rich imagery, we're taking 2 weeks to try to unpack the promises and the assurances that it contains. I noted last week this psalm was believed to have been written by David, shaped by his own shepherding experience. And we looked at the first 3 verses last week, exploring what it means for God to be our shepherd. And then we also looked at John 10 and Jesus' words about the good shepherd to deepen our understanding. And so we're going to return today and dig into the remaining verses. And I will just tell you how much fun I had last week watching Reg Simpich back here, who works with livestock, just nodding his head whenever I was talking about sheep. So I'm expecting more of the same. I'll get worried if you go, that'll tell me I'm on the wrong path. Let's read Psalm 23 once again in its entirety. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Oh Lord God, as we once again approach this passage so familiar to each of us, would you give us eyes and ears to hear something new, something fresh today that just enlarges perhaps even a little bit our understanding of you and your wonderful care of us. Please go before us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We pick up today with the phrase, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Sheep tend to be creatures of habit. If left to themselves, they'll follow the same trails until they become ruts. They'll graze the same hills until they've destroyed the growth, even all the way down to the roots. They'll pollute the ground they live from until it's ruined by disease and parasites. And so the greatest single safeguard to that damage is a shepherd who keeps the flocks on the move. Not in a wandering movement, but a deliberate, planned rotation from one grazing ground to another. I mentioned last week Philip Keller, who has written a number of books, who was himself a rancher. And one of the things he wrote in his book on Psalm 23 was, no other single aspect of the ranch operations commanded more of my careful attention than this moving of the sheep. For the sheep to enjoy fresh, new grazing, they needed to be nudged beyond their instincts simply to remain right where they were comfortable. And that helps us appreciate once again the shepherd's understanding of the sheep's needs. His care of his flock prompts him to proactively provide for them. Like sheep, I wonder how many of us prefer to remain where it's comfortable, where it's familiar, hesitating. I see those nervous smiles out there. This phrase invites us to consider our willingness to trust our good shepherd's direction for our lives and to allow him to lead us into new places, even if they bring uncertainty to us. Now, we'll often look for God's direction for actions or directions we need to make, especially in critical moments of our lives. But this verse highlights his leading at a deeper level. We're told that he leads us into paths of righteousness. This refers to God's transformative process within each of us for his glory. And it reflects his desire that we become more and more like him throughout the course of our lives, even until our very last breath. That's God calls those he shepherds to become holy. And while that can feel daunting to us, he tells us elsewhere in Leviticus, I am the God who makes you holy. And that's what makes this phrase of this psalm so encouraging to us. He leads me in holiness, rather than expecting me to figure out how to get there on my own. Now, sheep have poor eyesight. It's hard for them to see very far ahead. And many of the paths to grazing were narrow and were dangerous on the side of steep hills. And sheep also had little sense of direction. Dogs and cats can find their way home when they're lost. Sheep don't have that capacity. And so it helps us understand why the word lead is so important in this context. The importance of remaining close enough to our shepherd who leads us into a better life, a deeper life, a more fulfilling life than we are often willing to settle for just staying right where we are. The next phrase in this psalm tends to be one of our greatest sources of comfort in the psalm. And what's interesting is we find a shift in this phrase from comfort to threat. And there's also a shift from the third person, he, to now the second person, you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I hope most, if not all of you, have seen the gorgeous Bob Simpich painting, The Valley of the Shadow. Used to be in our hallway on full display. I think it's still in the Commons area now. He captured that on one of his trips to Israel. And there's a place that I have loved when I took groups to Israel, loved to take groups to from that same vantage point, because it provided a glimpse into a valley down deep below where we would stand. And you could see when you were there how for much of the day the sun was blocked in hitting that valley by the higher hills. And that produced deep, dark shadows. Those shadows could conceal various predators that were a danger to the sheep. If you remember when he faced off against Goliath, David declared that he had killed the bear and the lion who had threatened his sheep. Now, if that's not threatening enough, avalanches and severe storms and flash floods could also occur at the base of those hills in the deep valleys. And so the presence of the shepherd provided reassurance and comfort to sheep in that environment. Despite those potential risks, shepherds frequently led sheep into such valleys. They were often the best route to higher grazing ground in the summer, and they also provided some of the best grazing and water sources due to the runoff from the higher elevations that gathered there at the bottom. Now, it may interest you to know that the original wording for this psalm is different from the shadow of death that we are familiar with. It's one word in Hebrew that means deep darkness, or another way to put it would be shadowiest of all shadows. The word emphasizes the danger and the threat of crossing these narrow, closed-in valleys. One commenter said, it's a word associated with anxiety and a general sense of dread. It's thought that scribes later altered this word, perhaps because they believed that death was the ultimate darkness. But the Hebrew word is literally valley of deep darkness. Even though that's not the way I learned it, maybe not the way you learned it, I actually find this original phrase more comforting because it feels more encompassing than just the thought of death. The threat of death normally isn't something that tends to keep most of us awake at night. It's the valleys of deep darkness going on in our lives that cloud our perspective, that weigh heavy upon our hearts. Like a sunny day when a cloud's shadow covers the sun and darkens everything around. Moments of real or even threatened circumstances can feel so bleak it's hard for us to believe there's an end to that valley. Interestingly, in his book, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan described the valley of the shadow, and he placed it in the middle of the pilgrim's journey, not at the end that would be associated with death. And in Pilgrim's Progress, there's not one valley, but there's many, falling between the pastures where the travelers could find rest. And the implication of that is that dark places are a frequent and expected part of our lives where we experience shadows. Note that the care of our Good Shepherd in this psalm isn't to shield us from experiencing those valleys of darkness. And isn't that sometimes a source of disappointment for us with God? Why didn't he keep us from some hardship that we experienced? We may wonder in such moments, what does that say about his love that he won't, or about his power that he can't? But you see, God knows that as hard as valleys of darkness that we experience are, they're a part of this fallen world. And he also understands what we often can't see in the moment. The valley experiences can be catalysts for growth. Times of darkness often force us to dig deeper than we usually do when things are going well. And we learn new things about ourselves and our God, and our character is shaped on the anvil of difficulty. As many of you know, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball, and it was a very difficult transition for him to make. One day, his team was playing in front of their home fans, and Robinson made an error, and the crowd began to boo him. And the booing became louder and louder. And eventually, Pee Wee Reese, who was playing second base, Jackie Robinson was shortstop, trotted over, stood next to Robinson, put his arm around his shoulder and stand and faced the crowd with him. And he stood that way until the booing stopped. And Robinson, who went on to have an incredible baseball career, said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. The promise of this psalm is that we will never face shadows or dark experiences in valleys alone. Now, the psalmist here mentions a rod and a staff that can provide comfort. A rod was a heavy club about 2 to 3 feet long, carried in the belt as a weapon for attacking enemies. And the staff was an 8-foot long pole that the shepherd leaned upon for support, and it guided the sheep by pushing them or tapping them. These were symbols of the shepherd's constant loving care amidst moments of danger or threat. And God does the same for us. He gives us strength. He gives us courage. He offers us perspective. And he assures us that we are not alone when we are going through valleys of deep shadows. Now, the next verses in this psalm may be the hardest part for us to get our handle on. These words lack an obvious application to the earlier phrases, and the images don't seem to provide the same comfort. There's also a sudden change of references. The description shifts from a shepherd seemingly to a king or even to a host. And many commenters believe that that's what's going on. And when we see this wording, it's easy for us to understand why. But again, I want to turn to Philip Keller because I appreciate his insights on these verses, drawing from his experience as a shepherd. And so we're going to stick with that image for this phrase. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Good shepherds didn't just lead their sheep to the closest grazing. There was preparation involved in that grazing. They would spend time and energy in advance to assure that wherever the sheep were grazing, it was free of threats to them. That might mean checking to ensure that there were no poisonous plants or sharp thorns that would hurt a sheep's soft nose, avoiding the area if that was the case, or pulling them up in advance, clearing water holes so that the sheep could easily get water. Adders lived in holes underground, and they could pop out and bite, which would cause pain or possibly even death for sheep. And so shepherds would pour oil down holes that they saw to prevent them from emerging where the shepherd's sheep were grazing. And so understanding this helps us visualize a table that was prepared for sheep to eat from, even with the possibility of enemies there. And God's care for us amidst times when we are also threatened by danger. Psalmist writes, "You anoint my head with oil." And these words could have several implications. The shepherd could anoint the heads of the sheep to repel venomous snakes in the area. Oil was also used to repel insects or parasites that could torment the sheep. To get relief from them, sheep would often beat their heads against trees or rocks, trying to deal with what they felt on their head. And so a good shepherd at the first sign would apply a lotion to the head and to the nose that repelled those parasites. Or another application might be during mating season when great battles took place between the males. And shepherds would put oil or grease on their heads so that when they hit, they would more easily glance off of each other. Finally, shepherds would examine sheep at the end of the day and apply oil to wounds that had gotten infected. And while none of these images are particularly easy for us to relate to, they again provide an image of God's loving and attentive care of us. And then the final phrase in this verse, my cup overflows. Could be alluding to water sources that were plentiful for the sheep, but it's a description of a shepherd who is so generous with his resources, the sheep's needs are constantly being met. And we'll return to this phrase in just a couple minutes. The final phrase is a summary statement. It's looking back on all that has been said about God as a good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm concludes with a mood of joy. appreciation for all of the good that results from the shepherd's care. It's this theme of approaching living in the house of God is actually a consistent theme from Psalm 23 through Psalm 30. This longing for the house of the Lord probably isn't a reference to a place, but to a person. It reflects a desire to remain close to the good shepherd who took such good care of him. And these last two portions of the psalm set us up for a word to summarize this portion. If you remember, last week our word was understood, to highlight in the early part of the psalm God's knowledge of our needs. Today's word is blessed. Blessed. It's an acknowledgement that we are so blessed that our cups actually overflow. This psalm offers a wonderful reminder of what a generous God we have. He's not miserly with his love or grace or care for us. Like a good shepherd, he lavishes them upon us for our good. Even though there may be times when this is hard to see, in the bigger perspective, our cup truly does overflow. And that's particularly true when we compare our circumstances with those of other believers around the world. And even those with so much less than us still make the same profession in their lives of an overflowing cup fueled by what God is doing in our lives. Verse 6 reminds us of the nature of God's pursuing love and his proactive care. Look again at the assurance, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The word follow is a Hebrew verb meaning pursue after. Not just a casually falling after, but a pursuing after. And it signifies the relentless pursuit of God's love and mercy and goodness in the psalmist's life and in ours. Now, we've all heard the phrase, count your blessings, and that's good advice. But the psalmist reminds us that the blessed nature of our lives doesn't consist of the sum of what we have, but the deep abundance of how we are loved and how we are cared for by our shepherd, represented in the various facets of this psalm. This psalm is packed with promises, with meaning, and with encouragement. And my hope is, over these 2 weeks we've looked at it, it perhaps has spoken to you in some new way, or at least a fresh reminder of God's love and care for you at this season each one of you are in of life. Let me read it slowly one last time. And I encourage you just to close your eyes and just to listen to the wonderful promises of your shepherd once again. Let these be your words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to close with a reflection question for you. Are you able to say that your cup overflows? If so, what contributes to that perception? If not, what makes it difficult right now to do so. I encourage you just to ponder that this week and hopefully have a deeper understanding of God's goodness that truly does fill our cups. Let's pray together. Oh, holy God, we are your sheep. We confess we don't always make the best choices. We confess we often have needs that seem beyond our own resources. And how grateful we are that you are not only our creator, you are not only our redeemer, but Lord, you love us so much to get down into the details of our lives like a good shepherd does with his sheep. Lord, I pray for each of us here, whether life is going well right now or whether we are in the midst of a deep shadow of valley. Would you encourage us with these words? Would you remind us of just how attentive, how tender your care for us is? And Lord, would you give each of us glimpses in those moments when we most need them of your fingerprints, of your presence in our lives, reminding us that we are not alone. Thank you, God, for you being our good shepherd. And thank you for this psalm that fleshes out for us, just even in the smallest of ways, what that looks like for us. Lord, go with each of us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Amen.